What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 417, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something that gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing, with me, of course, is my co-host Ryan. What's going on?
Not much. It's been like a week since we talked.
I know. I've been so busy. I'm looking at
I looked at my phone and I was like, wow, my last message, yeah, was a week ago.
So, yeah, it
because we usually talk a couple times outside of the podcast.
Yeah, oh yeah. So, no, I sure. mean you are my friend usually in real life. So typically I'm looking at new apartments and it's just like going from appointment to appointment it's never fun.
I believe it.
Yeah, but lots to talk about this week. We have new Ryzen 9000 series reviews that launched today that we'll talk about for the mid-range. We also have some Intel stuff because they did some stuff that we'll talk about. We have a really cool product that both of us saw almost 2 years ago, and I finally got to spend some time with it. And just like last week, we talked about Logitech wanting to have a subscription for your mouse, and literally the next day we got an announcement of another subscription service that we'll talk about. So we have a lot to talk about this week.
It's funny you mentioned the two-year thing, because you're talking about one product that you're going to talk about here in a review, but I'm thinking of one that's in our news story. So there's actually two of them we've been waiting on for a while, but yeah, we'll get there.
We'll definitely get there. So if you guys do want to follow along, we do have our new show notes page, or not our new show notes page, our show notes page that has everything that we are talking about. It is our new layout. We did talk about the new Think Computers layout. It loads so much faster now. We ironed out a lot of there's still some more stuff on the back end that I'm working on, but it should load super fast for you guys. So I'm super pumped about that. Nice. Yeah, for the show notes, everything is here. All the articles, everything we're talking about this week is right here. So you guys can just go ahead and follow right along. So let's jump into it. Let's talk about the product that we saw about 2 years ago at CES. And I thought it was super, super cool. And they asked if I wanted to review it. And I was like, hell yeah, I want to check this thing out. And it serves a purpose. It's just we're not there yet when it comes to price. We'll just say that. So the product is the Lenovo ThinkPad X1 Fold 16. This is the second generation of the X1 Fold. The original one had really bad reviews. It just wasn't completely ironed out. I would say this one's very much ironed out. It's just very expensive. So essentially what you're getting is a 16-inch OLED tablet that you can fold, as you can see here. So it's a foldable OLED screen that folds into a 12-inch laptop. But it also has some pretty nice hardware inside. It's not like a, you know, it's a laptop. Like it can perform like a laptop. It's not
such tablet hardware in there.
Yeah. So inside you have an Intel Core i7-1260U. 32 gigabytes of DDR5 and a 1 terabyte Gen 4 NVMe SSD. And it also, now, if you configure this yourself, this is an optional accessory, but it does have a wireless keyboard that also has a built-in stand. So there's no actual stand built into the unit, which I was a bit weirded out about just because it's made to sort of be used like that. But there's no stand. And it's also going to come with their precision pen as well. So if you wanted to, you know, write notes or do anything like that, that does come with this combo that has, again, the stand, the keyboard, and the pen all together. And if we look at it, like, it's a big tablet. It looks like a big 16-inch tablet. Beautiful OLED display. Absolutely beautiful. But the cool thing is that, again, you can fold it into a 12-inch laptop, which is super, super cool. The first time I did, like, if you've never done that, you feel like you're gonna break it.
Yeah.
And the mechanism is very intuitive. Like, it doesn't, you don't feel like you're gonna break it as you're bending it, because it's not like cracking or anything like that. But in your mind, you're like, I'm going to break this.
Be able to do this, yeah.
Yeah, because you're just so used to tablets being a, you know, a piece of glass that's not bendable, but this bends, which is really, really interesting. It's like I said, very, very interesting. So you could use it like this, where you, you know, just have a full screen here. But you can also, as soon as you put the keyboard on the bottom half of the tablet, it turns off that section of the screen and gives you a 12-inch laptop, which is really, really cool. And again, you could do a software keyboard on the bottom if you wanted to, if you didn't have this. And also the keyboard does work. It doesn't have to be on the laptop like this. Like you could have it in your lap. You could just have it, you know, in
tablet. Can you close it with the keyboard on top?
No.
Like that?
Okay. Cannot. The keyboard does magnetically attach to the back though. So you can just, you know, yeah. So it works. We have Sergeant Droid in the chat. Hey guys,
I think we can get to this question like in our news section.
Yeah, he's asking about video work and processors. We'll definitely get to it. Just stick tight once we get through, and we'll talk about it as we talk about the 9000 series from Ryzen, which is definitely in our news. So definitely stay tuned. You know, but yeah. So this like the if you look at the bend, it doesn't. When you have the screen on, you don't see it. If you have the screen off, you can kind of see the bend, like you can kind of see where it's at. But if you have the screen on, it's a very seamless, it just looks very seamless, if that makes sense. Now, you will get glare. It's an OLED, so you're going to get glare. You can even see the glare from my overhead lights in some of these photos. So you will get a glare. That's definitely something to know about. As far as connectivity, you have three Type-C connections on this, no Type-A. Two of them are Thunderbolt 4. The other one is USB 3.2 Gen 2. That's all you're really going to get in terms of connectivity. So if you were going to use this as an actual laptop, I would say that you're definitely going to need to dock this. Like, you know, get a dock or get something to use a lot more devices if that's what you want to do. It does have a built-in webcam. It's a 5-megapixel RGB and IR camera. It does support Windows Hello on it. Now, one thing I absolutely love about this, and I really wish Lenovo would make laptops like this because it's one of the best features besides the Fold, is that the outer shell has this sort of, it's not fabric, it's a woven recycled synthetic fiber. But you can kind of see it in this, like it just feels so good in your hand. It is one of the best feeling, laptops that I've like picked up.
It almost feels like it was like this. I had a Droid that was like almost like a woven, I think it was woven like Kevlar type of material.
Yeah.
On the back. And it was really durable and really, really nice. Like you said, I have a feeling it's probably pretty similar.
Yeah. It just feels great. So that's one of my favorite things. And on the back, you can see where the actual Fold is and everything like that. Now, I didn't mention, too, the keyboard does, for all that, this is a ThinkPad, you know, and App Switch in the comments or in the chat, he said that it does have the red button is still around. What do they call? That's the track point. You still get the track point on the keyboard. There's also right here, there's a biometric fingerprint reader. So again, ThinkPad users, you are going to get some of those legacy features, which is really, really good. I will talk about the keyboard in a bit because it's one of the things I was very disappointed in. But yeah, and this is like what it looks like when you bend it. You know, you can see the clasp sort of there. But it's very robust. It is heavy. You think of like a 12-inch laptop, Ryan, and like how much do you think a 12-inch laptop would weigh?
I don't know, like a pound.
And yeah, some, this thing's right? almost. Like, I think this thing is like 4 pounds. Like it's heavy.
Okay.
And here it is with the keyboard attached to the back. You can see it's not necessarily thin.
No. I thought this was two laptops like comparing, but no, this is the whole thing. So yeah
this is the whole thing. So it doesn't necessarily, it has some heft. The OLED's heavy, the mechanism is heavy, and it's like I said, it's built well though. Like I said, this back right here is just, I wish they would make a line of laptops that just had this because I love it. It feels so good when you're holding it. So yeah, that's kind of like the basic overview. And then as far as using it, like here it is on the stand with the keyboard. So there's your 16-inch tablet in landscape mode. Of course, you can go ahead and use it in like a portrait mode if you want to. And both of these are great for productivity because you can, you know, do two windows side by side. You can also do two windows right on one on top of the other. This is almost like having a portable screen.
That almost seems a little too tall in that setup, right? Like, unless you've got a really steady, like, desk surface, that it feels like it'd be toppled. Is it pretty secure?
It's secure on the stand. Okay. The stand is just like a folio stand, but it holds it. It holds it quite well. You really don't have to worry about that per se. And again, I'll talk about it when we get to the end here, but this is like the ultimate travel laptop, you know, sure. And then like here it is. You can see when like this viewing angle, you can see what you're looking at is going to be nice and vibrant, but then stuff that's down on this bottom half of the screen is not, it does have this like sort of
tint to it or something.
Yeah. Just because of the viewing angle. But again, if you're putting the keyboard on there, it doesn't really matter. You know what I mean? And again,
I don't know if you mentioned this. Are there any SD slots?
SD slots. You're only getting three Type C connections. Two are Thunderbolt 4. One is USB 3.2 Gen 2. And there's also no upgradability. You can't open this up.
Everything's soldered. Yeah.
Everything's soldered onto it. So what you get is what you get, which is kind of unfortunate. But based on this type of design, it's kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Here you can see with the software keyboard, if you wanted to do it, and anytime you're using it without the keyboard, anywhere you're going to type, it does bring up its own software keyboard, not the really horrible Windows one. This is like the nice one. So that's really nice. And again, I do talk about the glares. You are going to get glares on this because it is an OLED. Also viewing this outside is not necessarily the best. So again, things to keep in mind. The integrated webcam does 1440p video of up to 30 FPS. I do have a video in here if you want to see what I look like, what it sounds like, the microphones and everything like that. We do have performance. Again, this came out at the beginning of this year. We're coming towards the middle to the end of this year. But even at the beginning of this year, it had a 1260U. I would have liked to have seen at least a 13th gen processor in here. So if we compare it to a lot of the Lenovo, you know, products, even older ones, it sits pretty in the middle towards the bottom. You know what I mean? As far as performance. Now, this is obviously beating a lot of tablets because this is a real laptop chip. It's not a tablet chip. So it does pretty well. I was really disappointed with the performance of the Gen 4 NVMe SSD, only getting about 3,000 megabytes a second write and about 3,600 megabytes a second read. When again, we all know Gen 4 drives can go all the way up to 7,000. Typically, a lot of the ones you find in laptops are at least 5,000. So that was a bit disappointing there as well. And I think the biggest disappointment here is the price.
So, yeah, but I mean, it's like this is one of the only, right, that's like this right now. So we know there's going to be a premium. So what is that price?
$3,899. It is very expensive. Okay. It's the cost comes down to the OLED and its foldable OLED. Yeah. With that said, the things I really, really like about this is that, Ryan, you know, if you're on a plane, okay, and especially if you're flying domestic and you're not flying business or first class, your tray table is like the smallest thing ever. Yeah. So even if you have a 13-inch laptop, 14, 15-inch laptop, there's not a lot of space, right? Yeah. With this, one, it folds down into a 12-inch laptop, which is great. Perfect size if you want to really hammer some stuff out. But also, you can put it into, you know, the tablet mode, and then you have a big screen that you can still work on. And it's not just, it's a full-on computer. It's still, even if you put it into tablet mode, it's still a Windows machine. It's still a full-on thing. And when you get to the hotel or whatever, you have a big 16-inch screen. You're not trying to do some work on a smaller laptop. So I think it is like the ultimate traveler's device. It's awesome. Multi-use, because when I travel with an iPad and I travel with a laptop. Laptops for getting work done. iPad is for like media on the plane and stuff like that. But now I could just have one device that is a lot more powerful than my tablet. I don't have some, issues, and everything's running Windows. The tech is great. It folds no problem. I didn't really run into many issues with it at all. It is a little hot, but that's, again, there's no fans on this or anything. So, nice. It's just so expensive. I can't recommend it for anybody unless you're somebody that's traveling a lot. If you're going on 1 or 2 trips a year, I can't. Yeah.
And you wouldn't want it as your daily driver necessarily either. It's a nice travel piece.
Yeah. As somebody, if you're a laptop person, I mean, the laptop we reviewed last week is more powerful. It's a gaming laptop. It's bigger, but you could buy 3, for the price. That's the biggest thing with this. It's great to see. It's very much a novelty item. I just think this is a good start, and it's great for them to kind of iron out the design. Because I think we will see this. This will become, I don't know if you remember, Ryan, but we used to see 2-in-1 devices. Remember, they were a laptop, and then the screen was actually a tablet. So you could pull off the tablet, and then it was like an Android tablet.
Sure.
And then you put it back in, and it was a screen for the laptop. Now we're getting a single device that is just as powerful in tablet mode or in laptop mode, per se. And again, we're getting the foldable glass, which is super cool. And it works. Like it's very functional.
Yeah. It worked pretty well, even when we saw it 2 years ago or so, right? It was already in a working condition. They've obviously worked the kinks out of it. It's not like running some skin of Windows or some half-assed Android, setup when you're in tablet mode or whatever, and then you can use it as Windows. It's fully functional. Just expensive.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's really awesome. Now, I didn't like the keyboard at all. Typing on it was all right. There's not a ton of travel for the actual keys. It has a chiclet style design. Let's go back to it real quick. It does have, like I said, the chiclet style design on the keyboard. Obviously, the trackpad is not going to be that big, but there's like absolutely no tactility or even like travel on the trackpad at all. And like half the time I didn't know if I was making clicks or not.
Yeah.
So not a big fan of this keyboard at all. Just not.
The keyboard size reminds me of like my Surface Pro, the original Surface Pro that I had, size wise.
So, not the biggest fan. But like I said, it's good to see, just to see the tech. It's going to be expensive. You remember that little, I think it was like 11 or 13 inch Sony original OLED. There was like a little TV. I saw it at CES. It was like maybe 20 years ago at this point.
Oh, geez.
But it was the first OLED. It was by Sony. It was like 13 inches, and it was like incredibly expensive. And now look at the price of OLED TVs and stuff. So I think this is where we're going, because it makes so much sense for so many people.
Right.
It just, the cost has to go down for it to work for most people. Now, if you're an executive and you're flying every weekend, sure, this cost is not a big deal. But for most people, it's just too expensive. But check out the review. Like I said, it was a lot of fun and just super cool. And again, the first time you fold it, it doesn't feel like you're going to break it, but your mind is like,
oh, yeah, you got to get your, this. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. So definitely check that review out. We'll move on from there to Case Mod Friday, and we have a sort of retro build, pretty nice build from Liquid House. This is VHS Dreams, and as you can see, it is just like a retro theme. I mean, again, and it has the Windows 95 logo.
That's the only part of this build I don't like. I'm like, why is the Windows 95 logo there? It's VHS themed, not.
This is a screen. I'm not.
Well, it's sure. It's probably the screen for the.
Yeah.
The height case.
Yeah. So. Again, it's a pretty simple build. Only the CPU is cooled here. But just the colors and like how what they've done with the tubing, I think, is really cool. Yeah, I don't know if you have any other thoughts on it, Ryan.
No, the GPU actually looks really small in here. Maybe it's just the fans look small. I also like that circular, up at the top there. That I don't really know what you call it, because I think it's just a.
Yeah, it's almost like I think it's something that they make, because it has the LH logo, the Liquid House logo.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, just like that's one thing I really like about Liquid House is like they are very out of the box when it comes to mods. Obviously, with the tubing, they're pretty well known for like the crazy tubing. But like, yeah, just like stuff like this. That's like, why? What's the point? There is no point to this, really. But it just adds right. That little element. And you know, we have the Aorus, I think this is the Aorus Ice motherboard. You have the Gigabytes Eagle white graphics card, and then you have the T-Creates white DDR in here. And then again, you have these crazy colors for the tubing, which I think just looks
awesome. That loom on them.
I
really like this build. It's pretty simple when you think about it. I mean, it's just like some good coloring. A nice radiator at the top, you know, a 360 rad, it looks like, the height fans, which I'm coming to like more and more. As I say, at first I wasn't too crazy about them, but old man in the chat says, a circle has no point, Bob.
You are correct, sir. But yeah, it's, like I said, it's just a cool build. It's just like, I really like, they do a lot
like
of
a slipcase for VHS tape, you know.
Yeah, so it's really cool. So definitely check it out. Like I always say, you just go over to our articles, Case Mod Friday, and we have tons and tons of these builds. So if you want to scroll through, you can definitely go ahead and do that. From there, we have a giveaway. We're doing another giveaway. So did you know that Galax makes gaming accessories? We know they make graphics cards, but they make gaming accessories, and they actually make some pretty decent ones. So we're giving away their Hall of Fame Ace M2 gaming mouse. It has a 38,000 DPI PixArt sensor, 6 programmable buttons. As you can see, it has the cutouts on it. It's actually very comfortable. I've actually used one of these. So super simple to enter this, just like all of our contests. We have the Gleam widget. You can enter a ton of different ways here. The only thing that we do ask is that you do subscribe to our email newsletter. And once you do that, you open all of these other things. So you can have a bunch of entries, really easy to do, just something to give back to you guys. I know we hadn't run a contest in a while, so it's good for you guys that I'm moving, because I'm clearing out a lot of stuff that's here. So we'll be doing a lot of giveaways, maybe be running like 2 or 3 at the same time, just to, you know, to get rid of some stuff here. So this is only running for 3 weeks. So get your entry in. Again, super easy to do. If you have any questions, just hit us up on social media. But it's, like I said, pretty simple to enter. And yeah, that is it for that. So like I said, get your entry in. And then I did put out a video on the Thermaltek Tower 300. If you guys do remember that, that is the tower case that they just made it so that the corners are angled, not straight, just made it look better. It made it look so much better, actually. But if you guys want to check it out, it is here on YouTube. We have the link in the show notes. Had some fun with this. And I think my build turned out quite well. Thermaltek did send over a 360 millimeter AIO for this. I use a Galax RTX 4070 Ti. I wish it was white though. That's the only thing I didn't get a white graphics card in here, but we use the Crucial Pro Series DDR5 in here as well. And MSI did send over this micro ATX motherboard because surprisingly enough, I didn't have a micro ATX motherboard. And I wanted to review this case with a micro ATX. So we did all that stuff. So check out the video. It was a lot of fun to do. And leave a comment. I know Old Man commented on it. Some other people did as well. So it is linked in the show notes. So we'll move on to news this week. And the big thing today was that Ryzen 7 9700X and Ryzen 5, was it 9600X?
Yeah.
Reviews came out today. And I've seen mixed reviews. I've seen people excited. I've seen people disappointed. I think my biggest takeaway from the reviews that I saw, we obviously didn't review them, but they're slightly better at a much lower power consumption. So the previous were 105 watt chips. These are 65 watt chips. They perform a little bit better, but at 65 watts. I know most enthusiasts aren't really pumped about that. As enthusiasts, we want something to be so much better. The next generation, we want it to be really, really good. You're not getting this incredible IPC uplift that you got maybe in previous Ryzen generations, but you're getting a lot better efficiency. Do enthusiasts care about that? That's up for question. I think if anything, at this point, AMD can't necessarily do wrong considering what's going on with Intel. I don't know if you read any reviews or had any thoughts.
I looked at a couple of the 9700 reviews. Kind of similar thoughts, right? Performance isn't wild. In gaming, the 7800 X3D a lot of times beats the 9700X. Depending on resolution and title, of course. So that's still a pretty decent buy. I'm excited to see what the Ryzen 9000 series looks like when those launch pretty soon here. And then if you're that gamer, right, we're all waiting for that X3D part, which we know will come. We just got to wait for it, unfortunately.
That's what Sergeant Droid was talking about.
If you need something now, right, and you've got 7800 X3D still a great processor.
I don't necessarily think we're getting anything new. You're going to get a little bit better memory support on the newer chips, but beyond that, maybe Wi-Fi 7, but like, do you have a Wi-Fi 7 router that you paid $800 for? Like, you know what I mean? Do you have the platforms has all of the newer things that I think most people, he said he's gaming and streaming. You want fast storage? You're going to get Gen 5 storage on the 7800 X3D. You're going to get, what else are you going to get? Oh, you're going to get great memory support, even though it's not as high as the other. You're getting DDR5. So, and that's not going to change even to the next. I don't think we're going to get DDR6 in a next generation. So you're going to be good for a while. I'm running a Ryzen 5000 series system and I don't see it like,
you don't feel the need for an upgrade. That's what I said in a comment too. I was like, I'm still happy with my 5800 X3D.
And if you think about it too, when it comes to cost, you will see some new boards come out, to support these and things like that. You're going to see the X670Es, those parts are going to be very affordable right now. Mm-hmm. So, if you want something now, 7800 X3D is an amazing part, especially for gaming and streaming. So, AppSwitch in the chat said, The word flop comes to mind. I think that's what a lot of enthusiasts think, because a lot of enthusiasts, even with like Intel 2, like we don't necessarily care about efficiency at all. We right. care about how much faster is this than the previous generation? How far can I push this? Enthusiasts are going to put at least an AIO on it, if not custom water cooling. So heat doesn't matter to a lot of enthusiasts. You know what I mean?
Sure. But you probably don't have a processor that's got voltage issues and you've got to worry about warranty and all of that, right? Like, so like it may be a flop as far as expected performance or maybe hopeful performance out of it, but you've probably got a pretty solid chip here.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I don't think, unless there's underlying issues with Ryzen 9000 series, they are going to be a choice for a lot of people, because anybody who's on the Intel side, the last two generations have those, all those issues we've been talking about for weeks. So, and again, Intel kind of put a bad name on themselves by not responding and how long it took them and everything like that. So I still think so many people are going to choose Ryzen 5000, 7000 or 9000 series. My thing on it, it is good to see. I mean, as much as I love better performance and stuff, it is good to get better performance at a lower TDP, better efficiency, that also helps with cooling as well. Now, again, these are the mid-range chips, so we'll keep that in mind. But cooling these off should not be a problem. The reviews I read said cooling was not remotely an issue at all. You know, and if you can, again, we can't compare against Intel necessarily, but that's also something to think about. So we'll see next week. We'll get the higher end chips from AMD and see what they do there. But it is good to see that. But I know a lot of enthusiasts are not necessarily all that enthused about the Ryzen 9000 series. So we do have prices, though. The prices were officially announced today as well. I'll bring that up for you guys. So the 9600X, 279, 9700X, 359, 9900X, which again will be the reviews will come out next week, 499, 9950X, 649. So, you know, there's competition there too from Intel with their current gen parts.
You get a big wattage jump too from that 9700 to 9900X, right? From 65 to 120, yep. Almost doubling.
Yep. And again, they had to pump this one up, the 9900X, because it was supposed to be, 65 watt or 105? I forget. But they had to pump it up. They had to pump it up to 120 so it would not be outperformed by the 7800X3D, I think.
Yeah.
Or something like that. I forget. We talked about that a few weeks ago. But those are the prices, kind of what we expected. So yeah, any thoughts of that you might pick? Are these on your radar or anything? Are you good with your, what is it, 5800X3D?
Yeah, they're kind of on my radar. It just kind of depends. I don't know. They're semi on my radar, but I've been on this system for multiple years. I like we just said, you're happy with what you're running right now on your CPU. I'm happy with mine, so I don't really need it.
Yeah.
The only reason I would think about a 9000 series is if I do go with a new build, I most likely want to do a small form factor. And at that point, I would need a new motherboard. So then I might as well jump into the next, you know, current gen with fifth.
Yeah. And it should be more efficient. So cooling in a smaller area. Yeah.
Yep, makes exactly. sense.
Yeah. So we'll move on from there to Intel. Class action could be happening over 13th and 14th gen CPU instability. There's an investigation going on right now. We all know about the instability issues. We've talked about it. Class action could happen. You could see it happen. Just not good news for Intel at all, I feel. On top of that, they did finally do something. Instead of just saying, yes, the damage is irreversible, we will release a an update. They did increase 2-year warranty extension for 13th and 14th gen CPUs. Although I've like seen reports of like people having a hard time getting like their RMA
approved
and in yeah. different things. So I don't know how that's going. But 2-year warranty extension on 13th and 14th gen is really good. Yeah. Old man in the chat said Intel refusing yeah. returns. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah, it's
no bueno.
It's like I said, it's just bad PR after bad PR after bad PR for Intel right now. And again, for people who are in the scene, enthusiasts, gamers, streamers, Intel does not have a good name right now. And
right now.
Again, especially if you're like, I mean, when you're gaming and then you have issues with your system, that's never good. When you're streaming, if you have issues with your system, if you're yeah. doing any type of work, video work, and you have issues with, like, you don't want any of that. And a lot of people are just like, well, I'm going to go AMD because I don't want to have to think about any of these instability issues, even if my chip might not be affected, you know. AppSwitch said, are the laptop 14900HX CPUs susceptible? I don't believe, because their power limits are different. And a lot of the problems are with voltages, but don't quote me on that. I'm not sure. But I wouldn't think as much, because the voltages on the 14900K specifically are, it will want to push a lot of power. And I don't think that's just really possible with a laptop, because they have this certain power limits. Yeah. But again, don't quote me on that. But yeah, that's what's going on with Intel. Good to see them at least do something. I still think that they have a bad name for themselves currently. Moving on from that, it looks like AMD will be launching soon a Radeon RX 7400 and a Radeon RX 7300, very entry-level, budget-friendly graphics cards based on the Navi 33 GPU. Probably getting, you know, it's going to be better than your integrated graphics. Think like 1060, something like that. But a lot of people are like, obviously us enthusiasts, we're not necessarily that excited. But if you look at the Steam survey, the most used graphics card is the 1060. That's the most used graphics. So if they can provide that type of performance for, what do you think, 129?
Yeah, 150-ish.
150, range, probably right? Be 150. I'm thinking of like old prices because I don't think about inflation. But yeah, probably like 150, 149, 159.
And you're most likely like not, you don't have to have a huge power supply, right? These are most likely probably going to run off of your, just your
yeah, 75 PCIe watt,
slot, right? Yeah. Yeah, they're, like you said, these are like the cards that fill up that survey, the Steam survey, right?
Yeah.
This level of card.
Yeah, it only makes sense for them to do something like this. So that's the kind of level of performance you kind of would expect. Again, it's not going to be anything crazy, but it's going to be better than your integrated graphics on your CPU. So yeah, and I think there's a big hole there, because typically when it comes to that low of performance, NVIDIA typically, and we've seen Intel kind of go into that with their Arc GPUs as well. Right. So yeah, so good to see that. Talking about graphics cards, this is kind of interesting. EGPU from Aostar. I don't know how you would say their name.
That's Aostar, yeah.
Yeah. This is their AG01 Oculink EGPU dock. $149 Oculink. So if you have a mini PC, that's what they're showing in here, that has Oculink, you put your graphics card on there, has a built-in 400 watt power supply, and you're good to go. It's a pretty simple device if you look at it.
I like this. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's not messy, because the power supply is like kind of like just like built in.
But you're still going to have power to your GPU,
yeah,
right? Yeah, they didn't show it. Yeah, they didn't show it plugged in the image above.
Yeah.
They don't show any cables on it, but yes, this is, I like this. This is cool.
Yeah, and for $150, A lot of them are very expensive, and they add like a bunch of other things. Like they'll add put Thunderbolt on there. They'll put USB. They'll put Ethernet, where it's like most people just want the power of the, you know.
And they're in a large enclosure with another like fan or something, which can be like helpful, right, to cool that GPU. But if this GPU is out in the open, right, then you're probably all right.
Yeah, and I think this brings the possibility of eGPU to a lot more people just based on price. Seems pretty simple device to me. I mean, it's just very, very simple. And I'm a fan. I would, like I said, for anybody who has a mini PC or a laptop with the Oculink connector, you'd be good to go. And it's kind of just plug and play. More or less.
I'd want to see this with a laptop or something, right?
That
could support that, because you can take that and then you get home, slap it on there, and
a lot of the mobile or the, you know, the game consoles, the
like Steam Deck or
Steam Deck, or but like Steam Deck doesn't, and a lot, some of the more mainstream ones don't, but a lot of the other ones do have an Oculink connector. So you could have your mobile gaming device, put it in its dock, connect it to this, and then you could be essentially just playing, you know, games a lot better. So I like it. I like the price. Obviously never heard of this brand before, but it definitely caught my attention. So, pretty cool to see. Hopefully we'll see some reviews of it. So last week we talked about Logitech, and Logitech said they want, this is not a Logitech mouse, but Logitech said they want you to have a subscription for your mouse, which Ryan and I thought was crazy. And we made our question of the week last week, like what other hardware would you have a subscription for? And we were kind of both like, we don't know.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of talked about like the streaming services where you rent cloud hardware to play your games, mm-hmm. right? But it's not the same, at least not the same as what Logitech was kind of proposing.
So literally the next day I woke up and I saw this story, and I did send it to Ryan. NZXT announces Flex is a subscription-based PC gaming rent program with upgrades. So here's the tiers. So the first tier is an Intel Core i5-14400F RTX 4060, the NZXT Flow case. You're going to pay $59 per month. The next one is the Ryzen 5 5600X RTX 4070 Super, their H5 Elite case. That's $119 a month. And then the higher end is the Intel Core i7-13700KF RTX 4070 Ti Super. That's in their H7 Flow case, and it's $169 per month. These are all built for you. Let's go here. You do get delivery once you order within 3 to 5 days. Lifetime warranty, 24/7 coverage support throughout the subscription. Guaranteed PC upgrades every 2 years. I'm not sure how that would work.
So 1 year of the highest tier is $2,028.
Yes.
So that's $4,056 in 2 years. So you're paying $4,000 for that gaming computer
that you don't own.
That you don't own. You have to give back at some point. And then you get a new one in 2 years, but you're still on the hook again for that amount of money.
And again, if you decide to cancel your subscription, it goes back.
Right, it goes back. Yeah, 6 months in, you got to send it back.
Yeah. I don't think $60 a month is, like, at the low end is bad.
No.
Now, again, if you're comparing it like you did to pay the full 2 years rate, it's a ripoff completely. And the other two are. But for somebody who has a hard time saving money and, you know, they can't afford $60 a month and they want a game, it makes sense. But it's like you're paying so much more for something that you're paying essentially more than double.
At this point, I'd be like, go without for six months and get yourself a console and you own it.
At the same time, I think that if you have decent internet,
or that,
if you have decent internet, get what is it, GeForce Now or whatever, it's called. Get one of those. Those are very cheap. I think GeForce Now is like 20, or the low end is like the beginner one is $5 a month. And you can play that on anything. If you have an old laptop, if you have a tablet, you can play that on anything. That gives you a lot more flexibility. Again, if you have good internet. But this is just, again, it makes sense for a certain person, but at the same time, us and, you know, people who build PCs, we look at these prices, you add it up, and it obviously NZXT needs to make money, obviously. And they need to roll out support and all of these other things for this service.
Just that you have some risk there too, right? You get someone and they pay for 3 months and then like stop paying. You got to go through the hassle of getting this thing back.
I'm sure in the contract they'll just charge you for it.
Right. Yeah. They're just going to. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, it's an interesting thing. Interesting to see NZXT do it compared to maybe like a CyberPower or something like that. But I think if anything, I don't see a lot of people paying the $169 for an RTX 4070 PC. You know what I mean? I think the 59 will be the one that a lot of people do because it's just cheap. It gets them a gaming PC and they can kind of play games and do all that. But at the same time, like you said, just learn to save money. and you can eventually afford a gaming PC. I think that's kind of the takeaway, at least for me on this. I wouldn't necessarily really recommend that to somebody. I think, again, if you want to play games, consoles, GeForce Now, and again, you can play that on a tablet. You can play it on a very underpowered laptop, again, if you just have good internet. So that would be my suggestion. If you really want a game and you don't have a whole lot of money, that would be the best way to do it, I believe. So that's the NZXT Flex. Something we saw at CES that I thought was pretty cool.
This is the one that we've seen for multiple years, and now it's finally kind of out.
Yeah. So Cooler Master finally launched their Master Hub control module. Essentially, this is a modular control panel. It has like a Stream Deck sort of thing here with that. And then these are rollers that you can set the volume to do whatever. You have this sort of knob and then three other knobs here. They sold it on Kickstarter initially. Yep. I love all of these. And we've seen a bunch of different companies try to come out with these. The biggest thing that holds all of these back is continual software updates to support the latest game, to support the latest piece of software. If it's not done right, doesn't work.
Right.
And it just seems like Elgato with the Stream Deck has been the go-to for most people. But I like this idea of a modular thing where say you didn't want any of this top stuff, you could just get two of these, right? You could put those there, or you could do kind of whatever you wanted with it. So I do really like this. It's just software.
It's taken so long to come out, right? Like Elgato has a Stream Deck with buttons and knobs, and it's not modular, but I don't know. It is very nice because we've seen it multiple times. We saw it at CES this last year. You were taking a look at it, moving the tiles around, right, to configure them how you like. That customization is really nice. It definitely makes sense for some creators and some users.
Yeah.
I just wish it hadn't taken so long to come out.
And like I said, the software support's the biggest thing because you don't want to have like when Apex came out, you don't want it to be 2 years later and you still don't get like an Apex thing for this, you know? And again, it's not selling well. They cut down on resources and then it's not support. Like, you know, so, and I think Elgato has it down. They just have it down when it comes to those things. So we'll see, but it's cool that it did finally come out. Do we have
Prime? I think you still have to buy it on Kickstarter though. It's not available just directly from them.
Yeah, you have to buy it on Kickstarter.
Which I'm also not a big fan of that from a company this big. I've never been a fan of large companies using Kickstarter for.
Yeah, not yeah. Yeah, it kind of shows that maybe they're not so sure about it either, because they're waiting for the orders to come in.
Skin in the game on it. Yep.
Yeah. Talk about Elgato Corsair. Corsair is moving away from the 80 plus certification. So when you buy a power supply, typically it's 80 plus certified. That would be 80 plus what? Gold, silver.
Gold, silver, bronze.
Plat- yeah, bronze. There's some silver, bronze. Bronze, silver.
Gold.
Gold, platinum. Yeah, I believe that's how it works. I should, yeah, we should know this stuff, right? But Corsair is moving away from that and using Cybernetics, which I have seen some power supplies that have these on there already. Cybernetics has efficiency level certifications as well as noise level certifications. And you can see them all there. So this is kind of be the new thing. I think we'll see a lot of companies kind of go this direction. Getting the noise level there is a good thing too. It's all done by the same company. You still have the same type of like efficiency level certification. So you're going to get a bronze, a silver, a gold, a platinum, a titanium, and a diamond at the highest end. And then you're going to get on the noise levels, you're going to get a standard plus, a standard plus plus, and then you're going to get an A minus, an A plus, and an A plus plus.
Sounded like Intel with their CPU revisions.
Yeah, it's so those are what you're going to get. Pretty good for Cybernetics to get Corsair to use that. So yeah, so that will be kind of a new thing you're seeing with power supplies. Oh, what does this mean? What is this Cybernetics? It's very much like 80 plus, a little more comprehensive though, from what I've seen in their testing. So do you remember the Chromecast, the Google Chromecast? I have
a bunch. I used to have a ton of the old ones, like
the OG.
The OG. Yeah. And then I had a couple of the like round one that was on a wavy dongle. And I have a Chromecast or a Google Chromecast TV, I think is what it is, on my TV in the living room down here. And I'm really interested in this new product.
Okay. So one, Google is phasing out the Chromecast, being phased out. They're not calling it Chromecast anymore. Yep. The new device is called the Google TV Streamer with AI. So it's a new streaming device. You can kind of see it here. It's like this little device. One thing I love. So here's the OG.
Yeah, yes.
That's the OG. One thing I love about this is that it has Ethernet.
That is so nice.
So it seems like a pretty simple device, you know, streaming device, just like all of ours. So if you don't have a smart TV or you don't want to use your smart TV's menus, which some of them are horribly bad and never get updated, this is a device that just stream all your favorite shows, use your streaming services. So you're going to have Ethernet, HDMI, which is going to be up to 4K, and you have your Type-C for charging, power button, incredibly simple. And then you have the remote right here as well, which has dedicated buttons.
I really like the Netflix remote.
This is probably like
it's a D-pad.
Yeah, so you have that home button, volume up, volume down, power.
And I don't like the dedicated YouTube and Netflix buttons unless you can remap them, but even then, like if you change Netflix to YouTube TV or something, like it still says Netflix, you know. I'm not a big fan of that, but I understand they probably had some some payments from Netflix to get the Netflix button on there.
Yeah. So it's going to have 4 gigs of RAM, 32 gigabytes of storage. Obviously, like I said, the Ethernet ports, the HDMI is HDMI 2.1, $99, I believe. And then it will work with Google's Gemini AI. So you'll see like AI generated summaries to answer certain questions. I'm sure you can like be watching something and I'm sure you could like ask it questions too. And it's going to go out to the cloud and be like, oh, who is this actor in this show or right, whatever. Right. I like stuff like that. Amazon has done that for a while where you could just like pause it and then it shows you all the
actors. Shows who's on the screen.
Yeah. I love that. That was always pretty cool. And it says The AI isn't limited to content-based viewing habits. It's extended to the new Google Home panel. So that will all be built in. Yeah, like $100. Available September 24th. It's about time.
Yeah, the previous version, like they had a 4K version and a non-4K version, and they did some updates a while back, and it really kind of like slowed down.
Do you think
the non-4K? So I'm excited for this.
Do you think there's any reason they took the Chromecast name out of it? I mean, Chromecast is a very well-known brand. I mean, it's everybody knows what a Chromecast is. So why are you changing it to Google TV? Is there something coming down the line or, you know?
I mean, Chromecast like initially started so that you could cast your Chrome browser to another, like, to a screen, right? So that's where that name came from.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that that's really used a whole lot anymore. I mean, this function's still there. Like, I can click and, well, it used to be there. I don't know. I'm sure you can still. I just don't use it anymore because I don't have the need.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I don't know. I'm sure it still has that functionality as well, right? You can use your phone and tell it to cast to this device as well if you wanted to control with your phone. I don't know why they changed it, though. Also, yeah. Google TV when they have YouTube TV, right? But you wouldn't want to call this the YouTube TV streamer because then that shrinks down. It's
it
only does that, right?
Yeah. So maybe there's a whole new like operating system change. You know what I mean? And everything like that. But yeah, I think it's a smart thing for anybody who doesn't want to use. You know, like you're basically in the Amazon camp or the Google camp. Or some weird Android TV box that probably doesn't work half the time.
Or NVIDIA sometimes. Oh,
yeah. Like the I Shield. Said, that's so old, though. It's powerful, but it's old. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, most people get a Fire Stick or they're going to get something like this. So for $100, makes sense. So yeah, that's our last news story of the week here. Coming next week, I talked about Wi-Fi 7 earlier. I'll be taking a look at a Wi-Fi 7 router from Asus. This is their big boy. This is their RTBE96U tri-band Wi-Fi 7 router. So dual much
10 gig,
dual 10 crap. Gig LAN. Yeah, man, this thing's ready for their fiber, bro. So it has crazy antennas. This has so many different things. So in my review, I'll be going over Wi-Fi 7, how it's different, all that kind of stuff and how this works. And I can't necessarily test the 10 gig because I don't have any other 10 gig. I don't think I even have a motherboard with 10 gig. But we'll be testing the Wi-Fi and seeing how it's different. And for most people, like if you're at home, you've had like a normal Wi-Fi 6 router for like, you know, ever. Is it worth getting something Wi-Fi 7? Is it not? We'll talk about in the review and see if it's worth it, because these are not necessarily cheap by any means. So, and that brings us to our question of the week, which has a lot to do with Chromecast. You know, back in the day, before we had Chromecast and other things, do you remember connecting your PC or some other PC related device to your TV for the first time? And what were you doing?
So I have a couple instances of this. Like I had you have like the ATI Radeon.
That was the card. Was everybody
the All in Wonder.
Right? Yeah. All in One Wonder was
All in Wonder and it had the remote and like you could watch TV on it. But I had one of those at some point. That wasn't the first thing I had, but I do remember I built a home theater PC because that was really popular right before Plex was a thing. Like you'd have a home theater PC, and I even had I reviewed a Silverstone case back in the day that looked like, you know, looked like a receiver that would go up there and nice aluminum front panel on it. And
did you get the Logitech remote?
I never had like a hard Oh, sorry, something just fell off my wall. I never had a,
I thought somebody was attacking you over there.
I never had a Harmony remote or anything.
Oh, I love mine.
It was I had a wireless thing. Keyboard and mouse. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I had a Silverstone case. It was my home theater PC. Absolutely.
Yeah, I did that for such a long time, the home theater PC. I had the Silverstone case as well. And it looked so cool sitting. I had like a little entertainment center, and it looked so cool sitting there.
Yep.
You know,
and they even made one with like the screen, so it looked like another piece of AV hardware. I didn't have that one, but like the optical drives, they had two slots for 2 5-1/4 drives, and it had little aluminum plates for over.
Yeah, those, I remember so that.
You couldn't even like.
Yeah, you couldn't see that it was a drive there. Yeah, it was. Yeah. Those were the days. The and then I do remember Chromecast for the first time. Mm-hmm. I thought it was cool. And then over the years, I went to the Fire TV Stick, obviously. For streaming.
Yeah, I've never had any Fire devices. We have a Roku TV upstairs, and then I've used Chromecast for everything else.
Yeah, but that,
God,
that
I have an Apple TV.
That ATI all-in-one wonder
was it had the like, purple breakout box, and
yeah, you know, it was like everybody had that, and I was like, I wanted that, but I don't remember how much it was, but I couldn't afford it way back then. So old man says, I remember connecting my Dreamcast to a PC monitor. It was a much sharper picture than old tube TV. Yeah. I remember Sega TV. So it was like, you could essentially stream game. Like, I don't know how it worked, but like you could play games over the, you know, like you didn't have to have the physical
Sega channel.
No, it's like Sega TV, I believe.
Sega Channel is a discontinued online game service for the Genesis.
Maybe it's Sega Channel. You could be right.
Through coax, right? And you had little because you could pop that little thing off the side and plug the
I remember that. I thought that was so cool at the time. I'm trying to think of anything else, but yeah, mostly home theater PC build, and you like. It's so crazy that we went from these big home theater PCs to something, you know, I don't have
so
like
tiny, flash drive,
but like, yeah, like a Fire TV Stick or something like that essentially does the same thing. And obviously with all the streaming services, it's kind of where everything went. But yeah, just like I said, that was, I was like going back down memory lane to all those things we did to watch media or however.
Yeah, I had what was called a boxy box. It was like BOXE.
I think I remember that.
XXE. And it was like, that was a very early like home theater OS you could run on your machine and like subscribe to these channels. Like I'd always watch Dig Nation, right? I'd watch those episodes and
They just had a reunion or something. I saw
that was such a good like that was such a different time in the internet, you know?
It's where so they would crazy
come on and be like watch, you know, talk about the top stories or.
So yeah, no, as like I said, I'm turning 40 this month. You think about how the internet has changed, like in our just little lifetime of being on the internet, because it's not necessarily all that long, like how just media has changed. Like it's just kind of crazy to think about. But we are going to be gaming. So that is it for everything on the podcast. It is the new season of Apex Legends. So really excited to play.
I have no idea what changed.
You can dual wield guns now.
What?
Or pistols, I believe. Okay. So we're gonna be over on Twitch. Ryan does run that stream as twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. He will have all that going, and I'll be over there on a little bit. I need to make dinner because I'm starving. But we will be over there playing some Apex. So definitely head on over there. Everybody in the chat, definitely appreciate everybody. And of course, everybody that listens later. And we will see everybody next week.